Well, it's a great day for the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Alan Small here in Colorado with my friend Trent, all the way down in beautiful Oklahoma. So anyway, Trent, it is so good to be on with you today. I'm excited about what we're going to be talking about today. Well, maybe a little bit embarrassed too. Why don't you tell us what we're going to be doing?
Well, you know, Alan, I guess I want to remind everybody, and we've said this, it's been a while back that we kind of, as we were first starting out our podcast, we were telling people that we have been in ministry for a long time. And you and I have known each other since college and seminary, but we've been doing ministry for quite a while. And if you've been in ministry for any time at all, you're probably going to screw up somewhere. And I don't know about you, Alan, but I tend to only learn the hard way.
Sadly, you know, when they say experience is the best teacher, that's not always true, because some people keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I hope I do is I try not to make the same one again, because there's plenty of them that I make. So why make the same one over and over and over again?
That's right. Well, and so that's today. We want to talk through some things that we've learned the hard way, and we're still learning, and maybe they'll hit a switch for you. And our goal really is to keep you from having to make the mistakes that we've made. We want to keep you, help you to learn so that you don't get hurt. And so Alan and I both have made a list of some things that we have messed up on, and we're going to share those with you today. And so, Alan, what are some of the things that you have dealt with and learned the hard way?
Well, you know, Trent, I think probably the first thing that I'd like to say to people is your personality is tied into a lot of this, and we'll kind of come back to that in a minute. But by very nature, I'm a kind of a ready, shoot, then aim kind of guy. And that's the thing that usually gets me into trouble sometimes, when I start moving faster than I should with different things. And one of the things I think about is my first church, where I had this group meeting one time about a program in our church. And what I wasn't smart enough to know is who really had introduced that program to the church, who oversaw that program. They were out of town and had this big meeting about this program and walked away after that meeting, ditching that program. And I'd never even talked to the leaders of the program. It was a foolish thing to do. I really messed up on that one. And fortunately, people were somewhat gracious with me regarding that. But I really did blow that. And I kind of call that my wrong way decision making. And you can't always just shoot before you really take time to make sure that you make a good decision.
Well, and so if you're coming into a church as a new pastor, it's tempting to want to make some big changes. And we've talked about this in our Pastor Poker podcast, didn't we? That sometimes we need other people in church to explain to us what's going on. And like you said, you didn't know who had started that ministry. That would have been a good place for somebody to come and say, hey, let's wait and make this decision until these people are back. You know, that would have been helpful.
And I think, you know, I have kind of have a sub point, you know, what was the counter to all of that? And one of the things that I've learned is you really want to get the right people to the table when you're making decisions. And you want to be very patient with programming decisions above some of the other decisions that you make. We forget how invested people get into some of the programs. And we're in a day and age where programs change and the dynamics change an awful lot. And everyone has an attitude or an impression about a program that's been around a long time or something like that. But you've got to be really patient with programming decisions. That's just so important. And then make sure you're getting the people who are invested in those involved in your decision process. I know when we were making a change in our current church regarding our children's ministry, that was one of the constant conversations I had with my children's ministry leader is, you know, how's the communication going with the rest of our children's ministry team? Are we sold on this together? Are we bought in together? Because those things are important.
Well, and you said that it's really true, because there's so much change. Sometimes people tend to hang on to something that seems stable and solid longer than they should, longer than it's effective. But they're not against you. We had said this before too, that it's that people aren't necessarily against change and against you. It's just that they are mourning the change and they're hanging on to what seems solid. So you're right. You need to have the conversations. And I've learned a lot of that as well.
Well, and then at conversations, and I know we'll come back to this when we talk to you a little bit more about some of yours, but when I think of communication, the thing that I lament some over the past 25 years is the times I've shown a lack of self-awareness. And what I mean by that is that I really, as a younger man, really failed to learn what truly makes me tick. And I'd like to say that I was self-aware, but I was not nearly self-aware enough. And there have been a few times in ministry where I have allowed my emotions to take control of the situation, whether that be in anger or frustration or something like that, where I did not communicate well with others. And I lament the way that I have handled some things because, again, I was controlled by my emotions instead of taking control of my emotions in those situations. And so I don't want to kind of go in through all those stories, but there've been a couple people that bore the brunt of that. And there've been a couple meetings that went poorly because of it. And I would say a lack of self-awareness is something else that I lament.
That's really good. And realizing that, you know, I think that we learn that as we go. And, you know, as we age, we tend to react differently. And that's part of learning more and more about what makes us tick. I learned just last week, it just like God hit me upside the head with the two before that. There are certain things that just, you know, get me excited. I can have a bad day, and if I go hang around people, then I'm automatically up. So, yeah, that's interesting.
Well, and I think, you know, for me, one of the things that has really been helpful, and one of the tools that I learned about, and it's gotten really popular again. It kind of goes in cycles with different things, but I learned a little bit about something called the Enneagram, which is kind of an ancient, more ancient personality tests and some of the more modern things out there. And to learn about how my personality is built out of a vice, in my case, such as anger, and to learn that, you know, there were a lot of things that happened to me when I was a young man that just kind of made me angry at the world. And I kind of see everything through an anger lens. And so when I'm not healthy, that anger really comes out. When I am healthy, I'm able to take control of my anger. And how do I learn to do that? And how do I manage that? It's been a really important lesson for me. And that's something that is a newer revelation in my life, really. And so it's been helpful. It's helpful to recognize these things about myself. And even though I'm over 50 years old, I'm still learning about myself. We can never stop learning about ourselves. We will put books on our shelf about a lot of things, but one of the things that we should always do is take time to learn more about ourselves.
That's for sure, Alan. And I'm glad that you mentioned the Enneagram. I would encourage you, if you're a pastor or a leader, just as Alan has said, learning more about what makes you tick as well, and take some of those personality inventories, the DISC. Gosh, there's so many Myers-Briggs, so many good things, and a lot of them are available free online for you to go and take. And that way you can kind of understand your dominant personality traits and how you're going to react when things are rough. So what Alan has said is absolutely true. We've always got to continue to learn more about ourselves.
And what I love is to blend all of them together too, because they each give you different insights. And I love to take multiple ones of those and to read multiple different thoughts about how we're wired and how we're put together. I think those things are important. Well, there's one more kind of, I guess, mistake that I've made, and I've made this one more than once, but I'm still learning from it and trying to be better about it. But that's assumptions, that I make sometimes too many assumptions. And one of those that I did that I can kind of talk about in a general form here is not knowing if leaders were contributing to the church. And what I mean by that is I could have saved myself a lot of heartache if I had just gotten a report on people who are on my leadership team. Are they a faithful contributor? I don't need to know the numbers, but are they a faithful contributor? And I found out that a person on my leadership team had not been supporting the church for many years. And that was a problem. That was something that should not have been allowed. It's even written in our constitution and bylaws that the role that they had needed to be someone who was faithful and giving. Found out they weren't supportive of the mission and vision and direction of the church. And that caused me a lot of heartache when that person finally left. They did not leave well. And it was a pretty painful experience. And I just assumed that everything was fine. And I certainly would have at least had a heads up if I had taken the opportunity and done a little more due diligence in my role to make sure that people are being faithful in the little things.
That's an interesting point, Alan. And as you're saying that, I'm like, okay, there's a fine line for me there, because I'm like you. I try not to know much about the finances as far as who gives what, because I never want that to skew how I treat someone. But you're right. That giving part of our faith walk is going to show the health of our relationship with our church and with the Lord. And so I'm glad you said that. And so is there something that you can do? Do you just check on that with your treasurer? Or how do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, that's really all it takes is just asking, is this person a faithful contributor? Mm-hmm. And all you need is a yes, no. I mean, your treasurer has that information. Your clerk has that information. Whoever it is in your church that has that information. And I know in some churches, the pastor even has that information. Are you checking that out? If you're one of those ones who does have that information, we could save that conversation for another podcast, should you or shouldn't you? But right. It's important for us to know the little things. And don't assume that everyone's against you. Don't assume that everyone is for you. Just get facts. Know where things are. I think that's a really important observation that we need to make, and something that can save you a lot of frustration down the line. And so, again, just don't make assumptions. Try to get as many facts as you can. You know, when people tell you, and again, to mention another podcast, well, everyone is saying, get facts. Who's saying? And if they can't give you facts, then you just don't have much to go on. And so work from a factual base, not an assumption base. And the same is true, even like, I'll take it to our preaching. Don't assume everyone in your church has a faith background. Don't assume everyone in your church knows where the books of the Bible are. Remember every now and then the facts that a lot of people are spiritually immature. There's a lot of nuns, N-O-N-E-S, that are coming back to church. So don't make assumptions.
Yeah, that's very true. I'm glad you said that. And so kind of to follow up with what you're saying, Ina, or related to all that, but you mentioned, I want to point out that the podcast, The Coyote Principle, if you'll go back to our podcast page and go listen to that one, that talks about what Alan was just saying is finding out the facts, and don't believe that everybody's against you, everybody's for you. And so as I think about the mistakes in my life, which yesterday, as we were talking before this, is like, man, we both know we've made a ton of mistakes, right? But most of mine, as I was kind of evaluating, they all kind of stem from communication problems. And I've realized more and more that I always have to be working on communicating better, more clearly with the folks that I work with. Alan,
isn't that encouraging? Isn't that encouraging, though, that here we are doing a podcast and talking about our poor communication skills? So
it's ironic, at least. I don't know.
Please learn from us. Absorb these valuable tidbits. But it's true, isn't it, Trent? Communication is what we are. We're communicators. I mean, a primary job of every pastor is communication, and that we do that from the pulpit on a weekly basis. But we also have a responsibility in the leadership role of communicating. And so the challenge that we have in communication is something that is always before us. And I'm amazed, you know, even as you're talking about this, and I'm looking at the leadership books I have on my shelf. I don't have any prominent book on my shelf about communication. And what a tragedy. I really should, because that's what we spend most of our time doing.
That's true. And it's so essential. You and I are both over 50. We've been doing this a long time. I'm realizing more and more just how my communicating to the people around me will either bring up the boat or sink the boat. And it's really important. And one of the first things that this seems backwards, but as far as communication goes, is learning to listen more. And there have been so many times when I tell my people, sometimes I get athlete's tongue and I, stick my foot in my mouth too many times and I talk more than I listen. And so I've learned over the years that I need to be a good listener. And to be able to hear what is really on someone's heart. And a statement that I think I've said before, I think is really, really true, is that most conflict goes away when people feel like they've been heard. When somebody feels like they've truly been listened to, that takes the stress away from the situation.
Well, and that's such an important element. And I'll admit too, I struggle at times to listen, because I'm one of those people who oftentimes likes to think of my response before I listen. But that's one of a common theme that I hear great leaders talking about, is one of the things that they learn to do is listen more and more and more. And I think that's just an important trait. And so take time, pause, recognize that it is a God-given responsibility to value another person enough to listen to what they're saying.
Yeah, and Alan, you mentioned that you spend time thinking about your response, and all of us do that, right? When somebody's talking, we're already thinking about our response. And so one of the tricks that Dana and I have learned over the years that we use with couples and marriage counseling is that we encourage them to say, after their spouse has said something, say, "I heard you say this," and kind of repeat back to them what they heard and ask, "Is that correct?" So that way we're automatically working on listening to what that person's saying instead of our response.
We've done that too. Rochelle and I have practiced that, and that's been so helpful in our marriage. And it's very important too. There are times we do that in staff meeting, but sometimes in casual conversations, we get lazy about those little things like that. But that's a question, right? Learning to ask that, "This is what I heard you say. Is that what you said? Is that what you meant?" So is that kind of what you're talking about? Because you have something in here, I've learned to ask better questions. What do you mean by that?
I think that, you know, just like you said, being able to ask for, you know, "Is this truly what you meant?" Or ask as many clarifying questions as you can, or being able to ask someone, how do they feel about something that's going on, and let them share their emotions, their feelings. Just thinking about it. If you allow someone to talk by asking good questions, that goes so far in, you know, helping someone feel like they're valued and that you're truly listening to them. And that's an area that, you know, I started off making lots of statements, and now I'm trying to make a whole lot more questions. And so I would encourage you to work on that. I've also learned that I need to get more input from different folks. We've been working on the strategies of our church and the administration of our church here recently, and we put together what I call my leadership team of 12, and trying to make more decisions with more input from different folks. And I learned the hard way and the wrong way. You know, there's a lot of times when I just jumped off and made the decision by myself, and sometimes it hurts my church. And so I think that's a struggle, Alan. I don't know about you, but that's a struggle for me.
Well, it certainly can be for all of us. And one of the things we need to remember, if your idea is the best idea your church ever comes up with, then you, you're really deprived of the best ideas. People can take your idea and elevate it and do more with it than you're able to do with it on your own. And sometimes they might even see something that's wrong or flawed in your idea. And so the more input you can get, and you don't need to have, I mean, you know, you don't want a leadership team of 100, but you do need to get enough input to where your ideas can be elevated and taken to a different place or discarded if they're not a good idea. And you can get honest feedback about those. But it's important for us to not make decisions in a vacuum and to get more input. So, you know, as we're talking about communication, what other things would you talk about that you've learned over the years?
Well, another mistake that I made over the years that has caused me to learn this lesson is that there are times when I need to have a crucial conversation or I'm frustrated or upset about something. And instead of going directly to the person and having a conversation, I've put together a letter and sent it out. And sometimes that gets taken wrong. Sometimes it gets taken right, but both times it's frustrating. And it has hurt some relationships that I've had. And so I've learned that for me, it's better to go directly to the person. Then I have those opportunities to ask questions to make things clearer than just sending out a letter.
Yeah, and an email would be the same way, to send an email instead of having a direct conversation.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we are doing things in person, because doing things through email never come across right. And I've received them, I've sent them, I've been guilty of all those things as well. But it is important for us to remember the best conversations are direct. And they're not comfortable, they're not easy. You just kind of have to be big in those days and know that you have to do it. I know you've got one more thing on here, and you're going to have to explain this one to me. So why don't you talk about it?
Let me do some splaining. The last thing I put on my list was that I've learned not to play down the ask. And to explain that is, you know, when in church, it seems like we're always asking people to help do different things for volunteers, whatever. And I used to really play down, you know, hey, this is going to be easy for you. It's not going to take a lot of time, because I was trying to talk them into doing something. But I realized that I've been doing that backwards, and it's not healthy to do it that way. But I need to say, man, this is one of the most vital things in our church. This is going to take some energy and some thought, but I know that you can do this. To talk about the importance of it instead of, oh, this is no big deal, if you could just help out. Because if I say to that person, it's no big deal, that's the way they're going to look at it, is it's no big deal. And they may or may not be committed to it.
Well, and commitment's one of those issues that we really fight continuously. You know, we keep talking about the average church attender is 1.7 to 2 times a month on average in attendance, which means if you're looking for a teacher and you want them to be there, you know, 40, 45, 50 weeks of the year, you're asking someone to go against what is culturally normal at this point in time. And so to really get across to people the seriousness of what you're asking them to commit to is hugely important. And that's a big challenge, just getting people to commit to just about anything at this point in time.
That's for sure. And so I would encourage you, if you're a pastor or a leader and you're looking for volunteers, which all of us are, to talk about the importance of it and how big a deal it is. That it's, don't say that it's, you know, this is a little thing, it won't take any time. Every ministry that you're asking people to be involved in is vital, and you want them to know that it's important, and you need them to be all in. I think you get better leaders that way. You might get a volunteer that otherwise, but you get better leaders when you talk about the importance and the how great opportunity this is. So those are the things that I've learned, and Alan, you've shared the things that you've learned. And I guess one of the things I want to say is that we're still learning, right, Alan?
Absolutely. We have not figured it all out, but we also know that, you've not figured it out. And one of the things we'd love to be able to do is come alongside you if we can be of any assistance to you. As a certified church consultant, we can come alongside your church and help you, help your church out and maybe help you avoid some of the mistakes that we have made. And together, we can be better. So if that's something that you think would benefit your church, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Also, make sure you give us some feedback, some comments. Make sure you get on iTunes and give us a rating and let other people know that we're out there. But we appreciate your faithfulness in listening to us at the Enduring Churches podcast. We have a blast doing this together, and we certainly hope and pray that God is using us in some way to benefit your church, benefit your ministry. And we are so thankful for you. We hope you have a wonderful and blessed week, and we look forward to being back with you next week.
We appreciate your time and the fact that you have chosen to spend time with us. Make sure to share your email with us so we can keep you informed about future episodes.